Lord, open our lips.
And our mouths shall proclaim your praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the caverns of the earth, and the heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us bow down and bend the knee and kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would hearken to his voice. A reading from Paul's epistle to the Romans. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we can even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews did not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, Believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, What do you want? Or, Why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, Surely no one has brought him something to eat. Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. May only truth be spoken and only truth received. Amen. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. It was sometime last week that we heard from Bishop Asbel that we would be changing some of the practices during Sunday morning liturgy. The big change was that we were no longer going to be sharing a common cup. There was reassurance, however, that taking only the bread is still considered full participation. I actually heard some people who were a little bit relieved at the change because they would no longer have to scrub out the lipstick of the cloths that we use to wipe the cup before we pass it on to the next person. The other change was that we would no longer be touching during the sharing of the peace. A smile or a wave was recommended. In multiple pastoral letters to various congregations, this was actually the change that got a more heartfelt conversation. More than one of the letters said something to the effect of, I know this is going to be hard, especially for us here at fill in the blank church, but for our safety and for everyone else's, we must refrain from our regular hugs and kisses and handshakes. And then something like, but don't worry, this won't be forever. There is something about a welcomed touch that makes us feel loved, that makes us feel safe, that makes us feel like we're part of a community. And so it should. God in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is community unto God's self. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rejoice in their relationship. And if we are made in God's image, then we too are inherently relational people. That is what the church is,
We are all brothers and sisters, siblings in Christ. And so we feel it deeply when we cannot embrace each other. And so here we are, or at this moment, here I am, and there you are. Not only apart from each other's touch, but apart from each other's presence. For those of us, including myself, who are lifted each week by the smiles and voices of those with whom we dine at Christ's table, we are without. Make no mistake that the brokenness of our world has caused us to be apart from each other on a Sunday morning is a tragedy. But that we as society and as church have decided to do what is best for the good of all, instead of what most pleases ourselves as individuals, is a profound victory over that brokenness. And for that, we should rejoice. We will be together again soon. What is worrisome, though, about this moment in time is not only the effect that it has on our bodies, but also the effect that it can have on our spirit. The watchwords of safety for the whole planet are self-isolation and social distancing. While I, for not one second, dispute that these are the measures we need to take to minimize risk and that we should follow these directives, we should be aware that they can lead to a hurt spirit. When left alone with our own thoughts, unchecked by faith or reason, we let the worst-case scenarios run wild. This can happen on the sunniest, most beautiful days when there are plenty of smiling people around. But around the world, we are being asked to stay in our homes to prevent a pandemic from infecting up to 70% of the population. The worst-case scenario doesn't take much effort to be found. Calming voices of colleagues and friends are replaced by recently updated news articles telling us how bad things are and how much worse they could get. And we've already seen what this can do. I'm sure we've all seen the pictures of grocery store shelves empty of one thing or another. People are buying the stores out because they see everyone else doing the same. They're afraid there won't be any left for them. And then self-justification kicks in. What's the worst that can happen? I won't have to buy any for a few months, right? What's not being thought of here is the person who's maxed out a credit card and is waiting for their paycheck to go get groceries. When they finally get there and find nothing left, they have to go without. In times of fear, we turn inwards into self-preservation mode, and that's not what Christ taught us. The other watchword is social distancing. It is what we are rightly living into right now. We are all where we are right now to prevent a risky-sized gathering. However, when someone decides to breach our social distance, one for which we have already made sacrifices, fear and anger are not very far behind. I have felt it myself. Walking down the street, I used to be frustrated when people would bump into me. Yesterday, I was frustrated when someone just passed by me too close. Here was the script that ran through my head. Ugh, haven't you heard? It's 1 meter. I'm trying to be a good person. Apparently, you're not. Let's be fair. It was a small sidewalk, and I washed my hands when I got home. Everything's okay. But those moments can build up, and we can callous towards one another. A healthy social distancing can so easily turn into an unhealthy spiritual distancing when we cease to be uncharitable and become self-righteous. And so finally, we hear the words of our reading today come to bear down on our moment in time. Romans 5, verse 2 and 3. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. We boast in our hope of sharing the grace of God. And not only that, we boast in our sufferings. This is not a boasting of our own works and our safety precautions, but a boasting of God's power working in us, that we can do these things with a healthy spirit, that we trust that in our weakness, God will keep us together. We are in a moment right now, kind of like a time lapse, where we can see everything and fast forward all at once. Think about it. If you get sick and you have to self-isolate and you run out of something, do you think that one of your brothers and sisters in Christ will bring it to you? Of course they will. Right now, the vast majority of Canadians are suffering spiritually rather than of the body, a suffering of fear and anxiety. So how do we boast of our spiritual suffering? We do so by knowing that God will carry us through. We boast, "I was so anxious about getting sick, but I called my friend to church and they reminded me that God is good and that if we keep safe, we will be okay and back together again soon." We boast, "I was sick and I ran out of food and there was one of my brothers and sisters in Christ at my door with a casserole and the news that there were more to come until I got better." We boast, "I was so crippled with fear for my parents that I could not even get out of bed. I said the Lord's Prayer, I got up, checked my messages, and found out one of my friends needed me." And Paul said again, "We boast in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint." We boast in our suffering because we know that God, right now, will carry us through and will be our endurance. That endurance becomes as a pillar of our faith, our character, and our character built of God's faithfulness gives us hope. Though we may be distanced and isolated, we do not cease to be the whole body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, we boast of the power that God has given us to care for our body and for the world in which it serves. See you again soon. Amen. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Now we offer our prayers and intercessions in a moment of silence. Almighty and ever-living God, the comfort of the sad and the strength of those who suffer, hear the prayers of your people who are in any trouble. Grant to anyone in distress mercy, relief, and refreshment through Jesus Christ our Lord. Heavenly Father, have mercy on all your children who live in mental distress. Restore them to strength of mind and cheerfulness of spirit, and give them health and peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty God, whose Son Jesus Christ gives the water of eternal life, may we always thirst for you, the spring of life and the source of goodness, through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Gathering our prayers and praises into one, let us pray as our Savior taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.